It had a climb, he says. The terrain was tough. I know Seal well enough by now to know that if he says a race was hard, had a climb, and the terrain was tough, then it was tough. And I broke all the metatarsals in both feet. Huh? Check that. Tough times 20. But I finished strong, he says. He finished? What are you going to do, I ask. What do you mean? You going to get them looked at? Get what looked at? Your feet. Why would I get them looked at? Because they're broken. Come on, man. The doctor will only tell me they're busted up. But I already know they're busted up. Why would I waste my fucking time driving to the doctor and then pay a man to tell me my feet are fucked up when I already know that? I gotta go. Call you back. Here's a point, I guess. 1 hour later. I'm in my home office when I get an email Seal sends while he's in the car on the way to the airport. From Seal to Jesse Itzler. Subject: on my way. Training will go on. The guy breaks every bone in both his feet but can still run? Training will go on? 11 o'clock p.m. The front door of the apartment swings open. It's Seal. He has a key, but since he's been living with us, we hardly ever lock the door during the day. What's the purpose? Today is no different, and he opens the door. As he makes his way in, Seal is walking like he's stepping on broken glass. He's limping and in obvious pain. He's not wearing any shoes, and his toes are really messed up. Seal is missing the toenail on his right big toe, and he has a few blisters that look like his toes swallowed giant red grapes. Ouch. Man, that looks bad. You gotta do something for it, I say. Nah, I'm just gonna sit on the couch and enjoy the pain, he says. I earned it. Now I'm gonna enjoy it. He starts to laugh to himself. At first I thought that maybe he wanted to impress me and create this crazy persona, like overplay some of the stuff for effect. But now, as I look at his battered feet, I realize that there's no overplaying this kind of thing. There is no effect. He really means it. He really wants to enjoy the pain. Next day. I'm at my office getting caught up on work when I get a call from Mark Rampolla, the CEO of Zico. He gets right into it. A lot of people in the Zico office are reading your blog about Seal, he says. Awesome, I say. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, they can't believe you're doing this. You're nuts. You must be getting in great shape, and you must be exhausted. Yes, and definitely yes. Well, anyway, we want to know if Seal would endorse Zico. You know, use it at races and talk about the product, etc. He asks as his words hang in the air like a puff of white smoke. I feel like telling Rampolla that Seal doesn't really talk, but I say, great idea. I'll ask. Call you back, I say. I hang up and tell Seal about the conversation. You're blogging about this? Yeah, at first I just sent it to a few friends who love to work out, but now it's catching on. And it's kind of spread a little bit, just a little bit, I say. Okay, cool, but I don't want any part of that shit, none. Any interest in endorsing Zico? I race for me. I don't race for products, Jesse. I race for me. We leave it at that. Dinner, 17:30. I hear the Rocky theme playing in Seal's bedroom. It plays once, and then I hear it again, then again, and again. Then the song repeats approximately 30 times. What the fuck is he doing in there? I choose not to knock on the door, but can tell there's something serious going on in that room. I can almost feel heat coming out of the door. I'm curious. Finally, after the 31st time of the song repeating, Seal walks out. He's soaking wet and leaving puddles of sweat all over the floor. You okay, I ask? 2,500 push-ups, motherfucker. Yeah, I'm okay. Sarah walks into the room as she too is curious. However, I can tell her curiosity suddenly changes to concern. Something's bothering her. Really bothering her. I can see it on her face. She's trying to tell me what's on her mind without talking. She's sending me some kind of husband-wife telepathy through her eyebrows and expression, but I'm not getting the message clearly. I wonder if I get points for at least knowing she's trying to send me some liminal Morse code. Then her eyes slowly shift from my eyes to the floor. They go there in slow motion, taking my eyes with them. It is there that I see a puddle of sweat growing larger by the second on our silk oriental rug. It's the same rug that's been passed down from generation to generation and was given to Sarah by her grandmother. With every passing second, the puddle spreads out like it's raining all in one spot, dead smack in the middle of the family rug. As Seal sits on our couch, sweat pours off his nose and lands on the rug in a steady flow. I immediately go to the bathroom and get two towels, one for Seal and one to place on the rug. I'm in trouble. Sarah calls me into our bedroom. "Don't ever let that happen again," Sarah says to me. "I'm dead serious." She says it in a tone that's way scarier than anything Seal has said or done to me to date. It even rivals my mother's silent treatment. "Never," she repeats. 30 minutes later. It's 8:30 p.m. and we're on our first workout of the day. Well, at least I am. We do a series of push-up sets 1 to 18 for a total of 171. Then we head downstairs to the gym. Residents have 24/7 access. It's pitch dark when we get down there, but I immediately flip on the gym lights. I never ran on a treadmill until I met Seal. I'm an old-fashioned, lace-on-the-kicks-and-run-out-of-the-front-door kind of runner. Seal thinks the treadmill is a good training tool because it's controlled. Yeah, like Chinese water torture. He has me walk for 5 minutes at a 12.5 incline at a 15-minute-per-mile pace. Then he reduces me to a 3.0 incline, but makes me do a quarter of a mile at a 9-minute-and-30-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 6-minute-and-50-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 9-minute-20-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 6-minute-40-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 9-minute-20-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 6-minute-30-second pace, a quarter of a mile at a 9-minute pace, and a quarter of a mile at a 6-minute-and-20-second pace. Approximately 3 hours later, 11:30 p.m. Seal tells me it's time for some sit-ups. It's like we're cramming for a test, trying to get our daily double workout in before midnight. He always makes sure I have proper form, as in all the way up and all the way down, as fast as you can do them, or they don't count. 44 unassisted. Unassisted means no help with lots of yelling. 1 minute rest. 44 unassisted. 1 minute rest. 44 unassisted. 1 minute rest. Total, 132. Push-ups. 15 times at 7 sets on the minute. 105 total. Rest for 1 minute and 30 seconds. 12 times at 9 sets on the 50-second mark. 108 total. Rest, 1 minute, 30 seconds. 10 times at 10 sets on the 45-second mark. 100 total. Total, 313. I'm wiped out. But I'm so wired from endorphins, I can't fall asleep. Never in my life have I worked out late at night. I'm used to knocking it out first thing in the morning. Seal comes in and tells me to set my alarm for 07:30. We are starting at 0800 sharp tomorrow, so I set my alarm for 0745. I want those extra 15 minutes of sleep. It dawns on me that Seal doesn't have an alarm clock. Yet he never oversleeps. He's always up when I get up. In fact, now that I think about it, I've never actually seen him asleep. I've never seen him yawn, never even seen him stretch or even seen him close his eyes for any length of time. This dude's a robot. Workout totals. 5 minute walk on a steep incline. 8 miles, 2 miles of which were intervals. 132 sit-ups, 484 push-ups. Day 13. Sick Fuck Friday. Every day is a challenge, otherwise it's not a regular day. Seal. New York City, 21 degrees, 0800. It's been less than 8 hours since I did my 484 push-ups, 5 hours since I fell asleep. When I get up, Seal is already up. I mean, wide awake up. He tells me he's been outside surveying our running route, checking the terrain, feeling it out. The terrain? It's not a regular day in Central Park, he says. No? Nope. Nobody's smiling. There's only a few stragglers out running. One guy's walking a dog. Saw one delivery guy. Okay. Nah, man, it's not okay, he says. Only the loonies are out there today, bro. Only the demented. It's Sick Fuck Friday. I'm not sure what he means. I walk out the front door as Seal limps. We set out to run 5 miles at an 8-minute-per-mile pace, but Seal wants the run to be mostly hills. He settles on running the small back part of Central Park by 110th Street. So we run uptown, and when we get there, we do the small loop up the 110th Street hill. The hill's only about a quarter of a mile up, but it's steep. To hold an 8-minute-per-mile pace is very challenging. As we ascend, my shoulders kill from the 484 push-ups yesterday. I mean, they are killing me. My arms dangle from my sides as I run to ease the sharp pain in my shoulders. They're not sore. I'm beyond being sore. I'm trying any technique to ease the pain. Nothing works. At the end of our run, I bend over huffing and puffing. My arms hang like they're dead. I need to give him a day off. "How are your shoulders feeling, bitch?" he asks. I don't even respond. "Tonight, more push-ups. I'm going to test your shoulders," Seal says, limping past me. "Be ready." 1 p.m. I decided to work from home today, so Seal is in his room chilling out, and I'm in my room making calls. I can't lift anything, even my cell phone, because my shoulders hurt so much, and I'm not exaggerating. Seal walks into my room. "I'm going down to the gym to get a quick workout in." "Okay," I respond. 2 hours later. Seal returns to the apartment holding his hands up to show me his palms. They look like he fell off his bike and braced his fall with his hands. They're battered. "What happened?" "I knocked out my pull-ups." "How many you get?" "I did 5 pull-ups on the minute for 2 hours."
"You just did 600 pull-ups? Just now? Just like that?"
"Roger that. So go fuck your bullshit shoulders," he says. "Whatever you got going on, someone else has more pain. You gotta learn how to fight through it, no matter what it is. Think about someone else and take a suck shit pill." I think he means suck it up pill, but I don't question him. Suck shit pill sounds good to me. 2200. Seal has been in his room the entire afternoon and evening. I have no idea what he's doing, but he has not come out once and looked for me. Is he mad? I didn't dare to bother him. I mean, who wants to wake up a sleeping giant? As the night creeps in, I realize I'm exhausted. Plus, I need to let my shoulders recover. I crawl into bed with my clothes on and fall asleep at 10 p.m. I'm zonked out. At 12:30 a.m., my alarm goes off. Now, I know I didn't set my alarm. I know my wife didn't set my alarm. And I'm damn sure Laser didn't set the alarm. "Trick or treat," Seal says. He's sitting in my room on a chair 4 feet from my bed in his running gear. I think he's eating a banana. I rub my eyes to make sure I'm not dreaming, and sadly, I'm not. I'm more freaked out than the first time I saw Silence of the Lambs. The only way this could be worse is if he told me to put the lotion in the basket. He walks over to the side of the bed, bends down so his mouth is basically inside my right ear, and starts quietly whispering the lyrics to the Ghetto Boys' hit song, "At night I can't sleep, I toss and I turn." I pretend I'm sleeping, but he repeats that line over and over, louder and louder, until I finally get up. We head outside. It's the middle of the night. Well, actually, it's the start of the middle of the night. Actually, it's 1 hour past midnight. It's about 20 degrees, but feels like minus 5 degrees with the wind. We do a 3-mile run around the lower loop of Central Park, 40 jumping jacks, and then 10 push-ups, and repeat. We do 20 sets of the jacks and push-ups in 15 minutes. That's 800 jumping jacks and 200 push-ups in 15 minutes. There was not a living thing stirring in Central Park while we trained. Not a civilian, not a police officer, not even a squirrel. I'm bruised and battered. The only way I could feel worse is if Seal made me carry him home. I don't want to give him any ideas. I just want to be warm. Who trains at 1 o'clock a.m. outside in the middle of winter? When we get inside, I take off all my clothing and throw on some dry boxer shorts and an old short sleeve tee. Then I grab my winter jacket from the foyer closet and put it on. I was so damn cold from the run, my jacket's the only thing that's appealing to me. I zipper it up to my chin and climb into bed. I know I'm at 15 Central Park West, but it feels like I'm on a mission in Serbia in the winter. I look at Sarah. She's in the fetal position in the middle of the bed, spooning with her pillow. I throw the hood of the jacket over my head and pull it up until it covers my eyes. Lights out. Workout totals, 8 miles, 800 jumping jacks, 200 push-ups. Lady in the Honda. Everyone is a potential threat. Seal. Seal and I head up to my lake house in Connecticut. I need to make sure the pipes didn't freeze and take care of some odds and ends. After we check everything off the list, we get ready to head back to New York. I ask Seal if he'd mind doing the driving so I can get some work done. Roger that. How are your driving skills? I'm well trained. We start driving back to the city. Seal, apparently, is a defensive driver. I note that he even uses the turn signal to pull out of the driveway. I nod left to confirm which way to the interstate. I grab my phone to check emails and then give him a nod when we need to take a right at the fork. I snatch a pen from the glove compartment to take a few notes. Eventually, we get on the main road. Seal points his index finger at the first car we pass. Then he does it again to the next car. Like his hand is off the wheel pointing. Again, he does it. Plus, he's talking to himself in a low, melodic voice, mumbling. He mumbles and points. The pointing thing, is that some kind of... Yeah, it's a driving technique. You need to point at the target. Every target, Seal says, pointing at an 18-wheeler. But these are just commuters, guys coming home from work. That's what they are to you. To me, they're targets. I check out the next car we pass. It's a mom with two kids in the back watching videos. Seal points at her. You have no idea what the lady in that Honda can do, he says. You have no clue what a reaction time is. You have no inkling to what that lady is thinking. Honestly, you don't know shit. We sit in silence for a minute. Man, you want to drive? Seal asks, sensing my discomfort. No, not at all. I've just never seen a technique like that where you point at every approaching car. You're too trusting, man. It just takes one pissed off mom. Bam. It happens that fast. A fucking nanosecond. You reach for your phone and kabow. You're blasted. You need to think prevention and stop singing that Elton John shit, Jesse. Elton John? I have no idea what he's talking about. All cylinders, baby, he says. This is no joke. This shit is like a video game behind this wheel. You can get gobbled up real quick. You need to have your shit tight on the roads out here. Day 14. Fireman's carry. If you can't do the basics, you can't do shit. Seal. New York City, 22 degrees, 0945. Seal has about 10 pills in his hand, and he throws them all back in his mouth in one great handful. He then takes a swig of water and opens his mouth. Ah, he says, and they're all gone. I'm not sure what Seal is taking. Vitamins, medicine, anti-radiation tablets in the event of an attack, who knows? All I know is he's taking horse-sized pills in large quantities at odd hours. Let's stay inside for 45 minutes, Seal says. Why? You'll see, Seal chuckles. We take the elevator down to the basement where there's a hallway that's about 30 yards long. Seal says we're going to do fireman carries. It's a basic military workout, he says. I have to throw Seal over my shoulder and run 30 yards in the hallway of the basement, drop Seal, do 35 reps, 4 count, of flutter kicks, flip to my knees and do 20 push-ups. Then we switch and he carries me. We're going to repeat this 14 times. By the 12th time, I'm messed up, like really screwed up. This is up there with the worst I've ever felt in my life. Carrying Seal was brutal, but being carried by him was way worse. Imagine all the blood rushing to your head from being carried upside down, plus Seal's shoulders digging into my torso. During one of the reps, the elevator opens and a resident steps out of the elevator into our hallway. I recognize her, but I don't know her name. I've seen her on TV and I think she's a real estate mogul or something, but at this hour, who cares? I realize the people in my building must think I'm crazy. They must be wondering what's going on. This is a building with fancy handbags with poodles living in those bags. We do not fit in. They must want to know why Rambo is living in their building. Anyway, she can sense the insanity, and she looks at both of us, scared and curious. She walks unusually fast towards the gym. It's almost like when you see someone on the street and they suddenly realize they aren't where they want to be and quickly change pace. This looks a bit intense, she says as she walks by me and into the gym. A little intense, I'm thinking. How about crazy intense? 3 p.m. I walk into my office and Seal's sitting by my desk on the phone. He rocks back and forth in my comfy swivel chair. It's Garnett, Seal says to me.
Yeah, man, be cool, he says as he hangs up the phone. Apparently, Seal and Garnett have stayed in touch. I have no clue how either of them got each other's contact info, nor do I know what those guys are possibly talking about, but it makes me smile that they're connected. Seal gets up, and I sit at my desk and power up my computer. No need for that now, he says. What do you mean? We're going to check on your burpee progress. Same drill. Come on, man. I got shit to do today. So do I. Take your shit off and get started. I strip down on my boxers. 1, 2, 3, 99, 100. 10 minutes and 27 seconds. I feel myself smile. 22:18. I get home late from the Knicks game. I walk the 20 blocks to the Garden directly from work. Today I had multiple meetings, multiple conference calls, and had to put out multiple fires at work. Plus, the fireman workout killed me this morning. Then the burpees, and then the walk to the Garden. I'm somewhere between the front door and comatose when I hear, let's run 8. Come on, man, it's over. Let's just do it early tomorrow. Okay, if that's what you want, Seal says, look at me like I'm a pussy. When Seal wanted to become a SEAL, he weighed 290 pounds. You can't be 290 pounds and be a SEAL, he was told. So he lost 105 pounds in less than 2 months. I know it sounds impossible, but he lived on fresh fruit and water and worked out like a madman, naturally. In SEAL training, you're subjected to something called Hell Week. Over a 5.5-day period, he was allowed only 2 hours of sleep. His class had just finished exercising in freezing water when their instructor ordered them back in. A SEAL in training standing next to him stared vacantly. There was no expression in his classmates' eyes. They were hollow. SEAL called it the look. The classmate turned and walked away. He quit. SEAL looks at me now like I have the look. I man up. We get our shit on. It's 22 degrees outside. I'm mad as hell that I'm doing this. When we walk out the front door, I turn to SEAL and say, fuck you. Let's go, he says. 11 o'clock p.m. We start running to the Hudson River. Before he pushes the button on his watch to start the run, I plead to only do 4 miles. He says 8. Miraculously, we settle on 6. We start. I can honestly say there's not one single person other than us running at 11:25 p.m. on the West Side Highway. Not one. As we run, I notice my shoulders are in extreme pain from this morning's workout. I run with my arms dangling by my sides. That lasts for a half a mile because this type of running style kills your thighs. Try running fast for a half mile with your arms like this if you don't believe me. Now I have a choice. Severe shoulder pain or running like an asshole with my arms dangling. I opt for the running like an asshole look partly because there's not a soul on the street to see me. During the 53-minute run, Seal and I don't say one single sentence to each other. Not a peep. It's like Night of the Living Dead. He only says 2 words the entire run. Turn around at the halfway mark. 3 miles back in silence. It's midnight when we finish. Tomorrow starts at 0600, he says as we walk into my building. Get some sleep. Workout totals. 6 miles, 100 burpees, and 14 fireman carries. Day 15. It's all about the push-ups. If you're going to do them right. Seal. New York City to Atlanta, 28 degrees to 49 degrees, 0600. I walk into the kitchen and Steele has a look on his face that I've never seen. It's a cross between furious and confused. It's scary. He's having a heated debate with himself. Let's add some extra mileage today, Steele says. Nah, let's knock out a slow 8, he says back to himself. Nah, fuck that. Let's knock out a slow 6 and then do 2 F-whack. When he says it, it sounds like Affleck from the commercial with the duck, but it's not. It's A-F-A-W-C, as fast as we can. Yeah, motherfucker, we're going to do 6 miles and then do 2 Affleck. It's about 28 degrees outside today. However, today I decide to dress more like Seal does and only wear shorts and 2 t-shirts, but double up on the hat and the gloves. Without the extra layers, I'm feeling light, and we fly on the run. The first 6 miles are in an 8-minute and 6-second pace. Then Seal takes the pace to 7 minutes and 29 seconds for the last 2 miles. As soon as we hit the 6-mile mark, he says to me, sub 7:30, and speeds up. He doesn't even look at his watch. He just programs his pace like someone would program a car to a certain speed on cruise control.
When we get home, I peel 2 bananas and dip them in honey. I one bite them and I'm done in about 10 seconds. I grab a Zico and hit the shower. We just flew through that run and I'm feeling great. Not just about the run, but how much I'm improving. How I've been able to hang in there. The funny thing is, Seal has not complimented me once, which is fine. It's not like I need his validation, but it would be encouraging. That said, I'm genuinely proud of myself. It's like this experience is a personal test of will. It's the ultimate, can I make it? And so far, I think I'm winning. I note it as such. 5 hours later. We head to LaGuardia for a Delta flight to Atlanta. Sarah wants to check in at Spank's headquarters tomorrow, and we decided yesterday that we would all go. Although we have access to Marquee Jet, we often fly Delta. Seal doesn't seem to mind either way, and he's totally indifferent about where we train, just as long as there are no fucking surprises. I give him at least 24 hours heads up before any travel now. I'm looking forward to the flight as it represents 2 to 3 hours where I can just read and listen to music. Seal just sits and stares on a commercial flight. I can't even guess what he's thinking about. Truthfully, I don't even want to know. So I'm usually not factored into the equation. I get comfortable in my seat and wonder what I should start to read first. But today's flight's different. Seal wants to talk. So tell me your shit, Seal says. My shit? Yeah, your shit. Okay, I say, reclining my seat back as far as it can go. What story do you want to hear? A, the big red chicken. B, don't let them boo you. C, Larry the coconut guy. Or D, 1-800-PLAYMATE. Who the fuck wants to hear about a big red chicken? Well, it's not really a chicken, I say. Keep your fucking chicken stories to yourself, he says. I go with D, motherfucker. D. Well, I moved from L.A. back to New York in the summer of 1992, after I realized there would be no second album, I say. I came up with an idea to start my own record label so I could sign my own artists. I partnered up with my friend Spit, and we called it Riot Records. To be honest, that sounds a lot more impressive than it was. First of all, I didn't have enough money to rent an apartment, so I was sleeping on friends' couches. Second, the first deal I made didn't exactly go according to plan. The artist we lined up was a woman named Crystal, who was confirmed to be a centerfold in an upcoming magazine issue. Mike Russ had suggested her to me. Maybe I should have known better since he turned her down. When I first talked to Crystal on the phone, I asked her to sing Happy Birthday to me as a kind of audition. The sound that came out of the phone was like someone with bronchitis trying to sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm while being strangled. But that centerfold thing. So I agreed to do it. Again, get the foot in the door, figure it out later. Crystal already had some good marketing ideas in place. She'd worked out a deal with a magazine to publicize a contest where if you bought the record, you were given the chance to win a date with her. This promotion was going as an insert in the magazine that would be distributed to hundreds of thousands of people. I thought the idea guaranteed strong sales just to pimply-faced teenage boys alone. One weekend, we took Crystal out to the Hampton summer share house where we were staying. She definitely didn't get the memo because she walked around the whole time topless. I'm not even sure she packed a top. Now, she's like a 15 out of a possible 10. None of my college friends had ever been exposed to anything like her. She was like the hot chick they invented in the movie Weird Science. All the pent-up sexual energy in the house made me think this was going to be a great idea. My friend Spitz's parents had a place in the mountains, and I moved all of my recording equipment into their house. The idea was we would block off a solid week and record her album with her at the house. One night after recording, we joined Spitz's parents for dinner in their dining room. Everything went along just fine, the usual small talk and niceties, and then Spitz's father brings up the Miss America pageant that was on TV the night before. They asked some tough questions of the finalists, he said. One was who they thought the most influential woman in the last century was. That's easy, Spitz's mom said. Eleanor Roosevelt. Crystal didn't say a word. She was the perfect guest, albeit one with 38-inch, perfectly shaped breasts that stretched the limits of the white Nirvana t-shirt she wore, but was quiet at dinner. Then, right on the heels of the name Eleanor Roosevelt coming out of Spitz's mom's mouth, she decides to weigh in. Eleanor Roosevelt? I would not say she was that influential, she said. Why is that? Spitz's mom asked. Well, all she did was fuck a president, Crystal responded.
I thought Spit was going to choke on the Eli's baguette he was chomping on. Miss Spit? She looked like someone had just taken a crap on the dinner table in front of her. But Mr. Spit, God bless him, sort of cocked his head and let his glance drop ever so slightly down on Kurt Cobain's face. She's got a point, he said. We eventually made Crystal's record. While she waited for the magazine to come out, she decided to make some extra money dancing at a famous Manhattan strip club. One night, she bumps, literally, into Baba Booey from the Howard Stern Show, who falls headfirst for her. Between dances, he tells her he wants her to come on Howard's show. She gives him my number. When he calls me, he tells me there's only one condition. She has to come on the show completely naked. From the second she gets off the elevator, she has to be nude. After consulting with Crystal, we booked the appearance. I figured I milked this appearance for everything I could, so I got a 1-800 number that had the ability to take 300 orders a minute. We charged $9.99 for the CD, which we'd split. Crystal would promote the record on the Stern Show, give out the 800 number, and I was going to sit back and watch the orders roll in. Booyah! The day Crystal went on the show, I was home listening on the radio. Spit took Crystal to the studio. When Howard saw her walk in naked, he went crazy. He said he'd never seen anyone so hot, ever. It couldn't have gone any better. Howard's fully engaged, really funny. The interview even goes past the allotted time. By the time they played her song, I'd already started counting the money in my head. Then Howard asked her to tell her listeners how they can order the record. We must have rehearsed what she was going to say the night before 20,000 times. 20,000 times. I did everything but tattoo the 800 number on her, well, her palm. But from the radio, all I heard was the disturbing sound of nothing. Howard Stern. Is there a number they can call, Crystal? Crystal. Crystal. Silence. I was screaming the number at the radio. Finally, Crystal begins to speak. But my relief quickly turns into utter disbelief. To a national audience on the highest rated show on radio, she gives out not the 800 number that we practice, but my personal home phone number to call and order her record, which started to ring immediately. Oh my God, I thought. Although I tried, any attempt to keep up with the demand was futile. In the few calls I did answer, the comments ranged from junior high stupid to sexual offender stuff. I just stopped answering. My phone rang without pause for 3 solid hours. Then, just when it seemed to slow down, the show aired on the West Coast. The onslaught happened all over again. We didn't sell a single CD. I had to change my phone number, and we ended up not even releasing our album. Seal has a hint of a smile on his face. I think he likes the story. All the profit I made from my own album, which was about $50,000, I lost in a matter of months with Riot Records, I say. Poof, Seal says. Are you still friends with Crystal? 1800. We land and head to baggage claim in Atlanta. A friend of mine, Lisa, comes over and says hello. She didn't realize we were on the same flight. Neither did I. I do a quick introduction to her with Seal. I know who you are, she says. That's so, Seal says. I read Jesse's blog, Lisa says, and she gives us a coy smile. Seal isn't smiling. He just looks at me and gives me a silent grunt, and then looks back at Lisa. She extends her hand and he shakes it. I know who you are, too. You were sitting in 14C, Seal says. The guy next to you is dark-skinned and reading Reader's Digest. I'm aware. Lisa looks at me with a holy shit, what the fuck face. 2200. After we get settled in the house in Atlanta, Seal summons me to the living room. Seal believes push-ups are the single best exercise for strength. He also believes proper form is the key. You get more out of 10 push-ups the right way than 30 done improperly. Proper form. Back straight, ass up slightly, neck straight, don't drop your neck. Go down and break 90 degrees with your elbows and make sure your chest hits the floor. Go all the way up until arm is fully extended. We begin doing our 1 to 18 push-ups and then 18 to 1. So our first set has one push-up with a 15-second rest. Then we do 2 push-ups with a 15-second rest, all the way to 18 and then back down to 1. In case you're counting, that's 342 total. So Seal has me do 8 more for good luck. That's 350 push-ups.
We finish around midnight. Workout totals, 8 miles, 2 AFWAC, and 350 push-ups. Perfect position. I'm on alert. High alert. Even when you don't think I'm on alert, I'm on alert. Even right now, I'm on alert. SEAL. Sarah and I have plans tonight for dinner. Friends of ours own a popular restaurant in Atlanta called 10 Degrees South, and we have a 7 p.m. reservation. The restaurant has a South African safari motif in cuisine. It's refined, no paper napkins, no bare feet, but it's not pretentious. We ask Seal if he wants to join us. Roger that. We drive to the restaurant. I'm in jeans and a button-down. Sarah wears a dress. Seal is in a black t-shirt. He takes the seat on the far side of the table so his back is against the wall. From there, he can see the entire landscape of the restaurant and notifies us that he has the exit staked out. I'm in perfect position, he says. Our table's fairly close to the kitchen door, which is heavy. It makes a small boom every time it closes, which makes Seal clench and bounce up. Yo, you okay, man? I whisper. That jumping thing. Yeah, I'm cool. Just them loud noises, man, Seal says. The door? Yeah, the door. It's freaking me out. It is? It sounds like a fucking explosion or something. It's loud. It's unpredictable, he says. Should I have them leave the door open? Nah, I'll block out the sound. You can do that? Of course. You could explode the fucking Goodyear blimp in here, and if you're zoned in, you can block that shit out. Sarah and I look at each other but don't say anything. A waiter comes over and hands us menus. He points to the specials on the board and takes our drink order. I've never seen Seal drink anything other than water in a restaurant. At home, he likes to drink special military-grade shakes that you can't get online. It's a combination of protein and carbs and comes in chocolate and vanilla. That's his meal. You order it through a special website. Seal glares at the waiter as he takes our order. Seal, what's up? He whispers, man, this motherfucker right here, I don't trust that dude. Our waiter? Yeah, well, whatever he says he is, he says. Pretty sure he's just our waiter. Nah, I've seen this movie before, man. I don't trust that motherfucker at all. Well, what makes you feel like that? Well, for one, his whole pretty boy act, his smile, his gear, his walk, his silly ass laugh, the grin, that bullshit attire. I think that's his waiter outfit. Fuck that, Seal whispers. Guy's a threat. Wow, I don't see that at all. Really? Seal's eyes go wide. You don't? Man, he knows what time the cash comes in and out. He knows when this place opens and when it closes down. He has ties to all the delivery guys. You trust the fucking delivery guys here, Jesse? I haven't given it a lot of thought. Oh, you haven't, huh? Seal's now livid. You see who brings the shit into this place? The delivery guys. They know all the patterns, man. Just keep your eyes on that dude. That's all I'm saying, Jesse. Keep your eyes on that dude. I look over at our waiter. Come to think of it, he does look a little sneaky. Everyone in this place is capable of something. Remember that, Jesse. Everyone. Our waiter returns with our food. I keep one eye on him as he sets down the butterfly prawns. Sarah is now looking at our waiter like she doesn't trust him now either. Day 16. Stay light. You can get through any workout because everything ends. Seal. Atlanta, 55 degrees, 0700. As Sarah heads out to the Spanx headquarters, Seal and I head out for a run in Atlanta. The route is simple. 3 miles down Peachtree Road, turn around, and come home. It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, 55 degrees and sunny, and it's warming up fast as the sun starts to climb. Seal takes his shirt off, and we take off. Peachtree is a main road in Atlanta. There are like 10 different Peachtrees, and I'm not sure which one is which, but this is the main one. I'm still not familiar with the streets here, so no matter where I have to go, I just take this version of Peachtree. I know eventually it will get me where I need to go. It's almost rush hour here, and the street is starting to get crowded. Cars are backed up at red lights, and traffic is slow moving. The sidewalk we're running on is roughly 2 feet from the oncoming traffic. If I look into the window of the cars we pass on the run, I can see the blemishes on the faces of the drivers.
We are that close. I can feel the eyes of the drivers in traffic looking at us. It's making me uncomfortable and also making me run faster. Seal? Well, he couldn't give two shits. He is so locked in on the run, I don't think he notices one single car. But he has to. He has to know that he stands out like a sore thumb, right? He's a V-shaped mountain of African-American muscle running up Peachtree. Everyone's looking at him. When Sarah gets to Spanx, she hears rumblings throughout the office about the specimen running down Peachtree. Sarah's office has about 200 women, half of whom just passed Seal on their morning commute to work. So you can imagine how quickly word spread throughout the office. Buckhead, where Spanx is headquartered, has a pretty typical cast of characters. Men wear suits and basically all have the same haircut, drive the same three cars, Mercedes, Range Rover, or BMW. So seeing Seal wearing only short, flimsy running shorts, looking like every inch of his body was meticulously carved out of stone, seemed a little out of place to say the least, and caused quite a stir. My phone rings. It's Sarah. She says in a whisper, "Honey, everyone here is talking about Seal, wondering who he is and where he came from. What do I do? Do I mention this specimen is living with us?" 14:30. After a late morning flight, we arrive back in New York City and head home. Seal greets the FedEx guy at the door. It appears Christmas has come early for him, or maybe for me. He ordered me my very own 50-pound metal-plated weight vest for push-ups and to increase the level of difficulty of my runs. You gotta love Seal. I didn't even know my runs needed a higher degree of difficulty. "It's on, motherfuckers," he yells, jumping up and down as he opens the package. "It's on." I don't think I've seen Seal this excited ever. He takes the vest from the box and puts it on. It fits perfectly. The thing looks like a suicide bomber's vest. If he walked into a bank wearing it, people would dive under their desks and give him the combination to the vault without him even asking for it. "Today, we test it out," Seal grins. We have one vest and have to share it, so I go first. We do a 3-mile run with the extra 50 pounds strapped onto my body. The vest is uneven, so the weight shifts from one shoulder to the other. It's brutal and makes it hard as hell to run. It's so painful the 3 miles take 33 minutes. Each step is torture. Seal asks for the vest. We switch off and I'm free. He's so happy you'd think he's putting on the master's green jacket. We run 3 more miles. It takes him, slash us, 22 minutes and 30 seconds. Total run, 55 minutes, 30 seconds. I come home and fall asleep on the couch. I literally can't move. 60 minutes later. "Grab the vest," Seal says. "You're joking," I say. "Actually, I'm not," he says. "Grab the vest, fucker." I clutch the vest. "I can," I say. "I need to watch Laser. Sarah has a work function tonight, so my parenting duties are doubled." "Bring him," Seal says. "All three of us are training today." "But he's 18 months old," I say, "and it's only 20 degrees outside." "Bring him," Seal says firmly. I bundle up Laser, and we start running. I'm wearing the vest. It weighs as much as a safe. Seal pushes my son in the stroller next to us. I go 2.5 miles wearing the vest. It takes 31 minutes. I've been on 1,000 runs in my day. I've run 18 New York City marathons in a row. I've done ultra marathons of 100 miles. This is one of the most brutal runs of my life, no question. I pull over every 100 yards and drop to my knees and adjust the vest. I try to shift the weight to save my shoulders. The heft kills me. I shift again. It doesn't help. People in the park are starting to stare. They want to know what the fuck is wrong with me. They also want to know what the fuck 2 grown men in weight vests are doing pushing a baby stroller in 20 degrees. I wish I knew. I wish I knew. At this point, I'm out of options. The shifting provides no temporary relief anymore. I'm done. What the hell are we doing? This is ridiculous. Can't you see this is killing me? "Relax, Jesse. You need to know that everything ends. Just do this shit, and it will end." We switch. Seal puts on the vest. We run another 2.5 miles. Fast.
8 o'clock p.m. I'm starving. I feel like I need at least 10,000 calories. Maybe that's because I burned 10,000 calories today. Seal, I'm ordering some food. What do you want?
I'm good.
Come on, you gotta be starving.
Nah, man, I'm good. I'm staying light.
I order in dinner for 3 and start to eat, and I'm still hungry as I'm shoveling food in as fast as I can. Seal grabs a banana and some almonds on his way to his room. See you in the a.m., he says. With a mouthful of food, I try to enunciate, see ya, and food flies out of my mouth as I do. A few minutes later, Sarah calls to check in. She asks to talk to Laser, who babbles, Mama, into the phone. I pull the phone away, and I'm so grateful Laser hasn't learned the words, help me. All's good here, honey. We've got it under control. Workout totals, 17 miles, 5.5 miles in 50-pound vest. Day 17. Suicide bombers. If a motherfucker looks crazy, usually the motherfucker is crazy. Seal. New York City, 18 degrees, 0500. Sting is not in the gym when we walk in, but Bob Costas is. He's on the treadmill watching the news on the tiny screen. I see Costas a lot in the gym and love chatting sports in between sets. Seal starts setting up the gym like a wedding planner would set up a reception. He lays out the bench press in one section, then grabs the curling bar and moves it to another section. After a quick assessment, he spreads out a rubber mat for sit-ups in another location. Before you know it, we have a variety of circuits perfectly laid out. He tells me the routine and we start. Dumbbell bench press, 15 reps at 35 pounds, 12 reps at 40 pounds, 10 reps at 45 pounds, 8 reps at 50 pounds, and then 6 reps at 55 pounds. Then we do seated rows, 15, 12, 10, 8, 6, medium weight, 51 reps. Then we do military press, 4 sets of 10, medium weight, 40 reps. Then we do tricep pull-downs, 15, 12, 10, light weight, 37 reps. Curls, 15, 12, 10, 25-pound dumbbells, 37 reps. Sit-ups, 50, 1-minute rest. Then 50 flutter kicks, 50 4-count flutter kicks. Basically, do a flutter kick for 4 seconds, that equals 1. Costas is now ignoring the television and is focused on us. I fly through the workouts with zero talking. The workouts are starting to have a definite precision to them, meaning Seal is really focused on my form, and I'm finally getting comfortable with my technique. I think Costas has noticed the improvement. At least he has in my head. I grab my towel, and we leave the gym. Seal pats me on the back and says, nice work. My first real compliment. 0650. I have to be at work at 7 a.m. for a breakfast meeting. Well, the guy I'm meeting will have breakfast. I'll be having fruit. And Seal makes me wear the weight vest to the office today. He wears the one he borrowed from the guy at the gym. Mine's under my jacket. Seal just wears his vest over his t-shirt. We walk around Columbus Circle over toward my office on Park Avenue. It's not a bad walk, but today we stand out. I think we look like suicide bombers from a J.J. Abrams movie. Shoulder to shoulder. Black guy, white guy, down Park Avenue, looking like we're going to go blow some shit up just for the sake of blowing some shit up. We're walking with some purpose down the street. We'll do this from now on, Seal says. I'm a bit freaked out. Not because of the weight of the vest, because I'm thinking, we're going to get stopped by the police. September 11 is still on people's mind, and we don't look at all sane. I'm worried that we're going to get asked to freeze and instructed to put our hands up, and someone I know will see me. We keep walking. We walk to work every day when we're in New York, and something curious happens during these walks. Most of the time I spend with Seal is either working out, getting ready to work out, recovering from working out, or talking about working out. Little of it is enjoyable. It isn't all misery, although much of it is, but there isn't a whole lot of human interaction. However, during the walks to work, things change a little, just a little. Today he asked me what I do with my money, meaning do I invest it in real estate, stocks? He'd saved some money from being in the military and is curious as to what to do with it.
I thought that was very human of him. Rather than go into detail about my portfolio, I give him a quote that my wife says about money. Money is fun to make, fun to spend, and fun to give away. That sums it all up. He loves it. He looks at me like Sarah had written the Gettysburg Address, and I was reciting it. Fuck yeah, Sarah, he says. So I give him more. Sarah also likes to think of money as a big magnifying glass. If you're a good person before you had money, then money makes you an even better person. If you were a charitable person before you had money, then money makes you even more charitable. But if you were an asshole before you had money, well then, money makes you an even bigger asshole. That's some fucking real poetic shit right there, Seal says. Sarah doesn't play. We keep pace. As the small talk disseminates, it becomes obvious to me that Seal is very suspicious of some of the pedestrians on the street. Out of nowhere, he says, cross the street, and then, I don't like the way things are looking on 51st today. I'm like, really? One day on the walk to work, Seal made us go all the way over to the West Side Highway, down to 57th Street, and then back up around to my office. This added an extra 20 minutes to the walk. Let's stay away from Trump Tower today, he said. Trump been in the news too much lately. We also talked some sports on our walks, and he put up with 10,000 questions I asked him every day. I'd ask him 10,000, and he'd ask me none. He couldn't relate to my business accomplishments, and there's nothing I could do physically that would impress him because he's already done it longer, faster, and harder. So there was really nothing he could ask me. When Seal asks about money, it seems a little strange. I can tell it's purely out of curiosity. It's not like he's angling for anything. He just doesn't understand how I live the way I live. Can you imagine what it would be like if we switched places for a week? Like one of those Disney movies where we somehow magically switch bodies? I don't think either one of us could function right away, but I'm sure by the end of the second act, we would both learn valuable lessons from each other. Seal would laugh at how simple his life was and how complicated mine was. I would have a call list for the day, a schedule, my bag, appointments, calendars and such, and he would literally grab his military card and $50, and that was all he needed for the day. That was his whole existence. He didn't have a car, a house, or anything to tie him down. If I fly someplace for a weekend, I always have to check my bag. He showed up at my house with a backpack. For 30-plus days, one backpack. We have a closet full of shit we never use, millions of pictures we took that we never look at, stacks of files that collect dust. He's a master at keeping it simple, and I have to say, his simplicity, he looks attractive to me. I sort of want what he has, but I...